Hi, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Stelina. Together, we are moms to 5 children, including 2 sets of twins.
At Tweet Dreams, we are passionate about helping families achieve the peaceful night's rest they deserve because we were formerly overwhelmed and sleep deprived ourselves.
We love nothing more than helping families achieve their specific sleep goals
so the whole family can be rested and thriving.
On this podcast, you'll not just hear about sleep-related topics. We'll chat about how it started,
where we are today,
and the experiences that have shaped us as mothers of twins.
We hope you'll enjoy listening to the ups and downs,
the highs and lows, and everything in between.
Hi friends, welcome back. Today we want to talk to you guys about sleep props. So the title of this episode is literally called Sleep Props, and we thought it was really important to like touch on those because you may think like, I know what that is, I don't need to know about that, but there's a lot of families out there that may be using a sleep prop that eventually becomes unsustainable. And so we really wanted to cover like a broad range of what we consider a sleep prop, how to wean off of them, and really help you guys get into a more sustainable spot with your twins' sleep for sure. So if you don't have our twin guide, please grab that because there's a whole page on sleep props. Okay. So when we're working towards better sleep for our twins, we're going to look at what they're using to fall asleep, what the routine is, and that adds a lot of props in it sometimes. So when we think about a prop, Selena, right, it's not like good or bad. It's just what's working, what's sustainable, right?
Exactly. How long are we going to be doing this or using this thing?
Yeah, definitely. And so if you look at our guide, we have 2 different columns here, and we talk about sustainable, we talk about not sustainable. A not sustainable prop could work for your family for like a year, maybe longer. And then all of a sudden it just stops working for whatever reason. And there's really no like reason or science behind it. It's just, it is what it is. So you may be like, hey guys, I use that prop and like everything's fine at my house. We're good. Just be safe with whatever that is. But there's definitely some that you could still be using that allows the world to go round still at your house. Okay. So let's cover like non-sustainable sleep props. And I'm the first to say I used them all probably in the beginning. Didn't know any different. I had all the gizmos and gadgets. I was at Walmart, you know, buying glow-in-the-dark pacifiers at one point. I was desperate, okay? So pacifiers, all right? Really important to know that it is a prop and you will be dropping it eventually, okay? My twins used them for about 6.5 months. It was more so just like that last ditch effort. I call it like the ace under up my sleeve where I was like, oop, but I have this thing and I can pop it into your mouth and we're going to get another sleep cycle. Usually like my memories are for naps. We really relied on passy ping pong. And then early mornings, like my kids would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I knew right away, oh, passy, and we're good for another hour or so. But it was not sustainable and I had no way of knowing how to get out of it. Okay. So pacifiers are good for newborns, right? My kids use them. Selena, did your kids use pacifiers?
The twins did a little bit, again, because I was a new parent. I had every kind. They didn't love them though. So I guess I was a little bit lucky, you could say, in that beginning, in that way, I guess, because I didn't have to get rid of them really. They just didn't like them. And then with my son, I had him shortly after the twins and very short-term use. So yeah, it was only when they were newborns or in the car a couple of times when I couldn't get them to calm down, I would pop it in their mouth, but it was not an extended use prop for me.
Yeah, I was just curious about that. So some babies just don't take to them. And I've heard moms say like, they won't take a pacifier. I'm like, great. Like, it's okay. Like they don't have to.
Great.
Yeah, they don't have to take a pacifier because that's one thing you have to wean off of. But I do remember in the newborn phase, I felt like it was like I needed that, like especially when they're just so little and they're crying, you can't calm them down. You have two babies, like a passy is just like an easy answer sometimes. So I totally get it if you're using pacifiers. When we work with parents in our sleep coaching programs, we really, really stress to drop them almost like it's a make or break thing because it just hinders sleep when we're teaching independence because your baby can learn and start to use sustainable props or like something that is in their control versus the pacifier. And then parents no longer feel like they are actually in charge of how their baby gets back to sleep because they're going in, popping the passy in or whatever it is. And they know like the baby can just get their hands in their mouth, etc. So typically we're recommending that you drop a pacifier after 4 months old if you're working on independent sleep. Lots of people train with pacifiers. Everything's great. No worries. Usually with twins though, there's going to be one who's like waking up prematurely from their naps, looking for it, falls out, they can't replace it, middle or, you know, early morning wake ups, etc. And then you're in this tough spot again. But if your twins like their pacifiers and you're like, we're going to keep it, that's great. They will grow into a toddler, 18 months old, 2 years old, even 3 years old, where you're like, okay, here we are.
It's not cute anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's a prop for sure. It's like a comfort item. It's definitely like it's a toddler's comfort item if they have it. They fall down and scrape their knee. They're going to grab in their passy, right? We have to wonder, like, is it affecting their dental health? Is it, you know, just is it time? Are they speech delayed? Like, whatever. I'm just saying randomly some things that could come up. I have a blog on how to drop the pacifier as baby and as toddler, because you're going to want to go about it a different way than depending on the age. Okay. So pacifiers, that's definitely one prop. We can talk about feeding being a prop. And again, guys, if you're feeding and like sleep is okay. And when I say feeding, we're feeding baby to sleep for naps, for night, and they sleep through the night. It's okay. Right. Question when it stops working for you though, what changes you can make to get to a more sustainable position. So if you're feeding your baby to sleep and you want to make some changes, let's move that nursing session or bottle feed at least 30 to 45 minutes before you put your baby down at bedtime so that they can start to disassociate. I eat to get to sleep, right? Selena, what are some other props that we're thinking about that don't feel sustainable, maybe from like our guide or, you know, that you see with clients?
Sure. So I wanted to talk about the Magic Merlin suit. I know that you used it on your twins. I used it for my twins and for my son. I really love this product. However, I think there's definitely a time and a place for this product. Typically, we like it for 3 to 4 monthers, right? So, you know, if you haven't heard of the Magic Merlin suit, it's technically a swaddle transition product. So your baby's probably about 3 months old, and generally speaking, around 3 months or sometimes sooner, we recommend, you know, to discontinue using the swaddle. Okay. Some kids do just fine. When you discontinue the swaddle, you either use a sleep sack or you can use nothing at all, or you can use the Magic Merlin suit. So the Magic Merlin suit works a lot of the time for kids who did like being swaddled and are having a really hard time connecting sleep cycles without that like close, tight feeling that they used to have. Okay. It really worked wonders for me for all of my kids between that 3 and 4 month mark. I can pretty much guarantee they got longer stretches of sleep because of this wonderful product, right? But like anything, nothing lasts forever, right? So we have to drop it at some point. And we usually recommend dropping it, you know, definitely if they can roll in the suit, you have to drop it, right? So it does require a lot of strength to do that. Sometimes parents will come to me and be like, oh, my son's definitely going to roll in this. And I'm like, yeah, let's double check that right first. So if they're able to roll in it, you can't use it anymore. Okay. Also, if they're, you know, rolling during the day or trying to roll during the day, generally we lean towards stopping the use of it, because a really great thing is when babies learn how to sleep on their belly. You know, they're trying to look for a comfortable position, and that is how babies self-soothe a lot of the time, right? They'll roll around, scratch their head,
100%.
Like nestle up against the crib or something and fall asleep. So we don't want to hinder that, and we don't want to stop them from learning how to do that in their crib, okay? So I love the Merlin. I have so many pictures of my kids in that cute little Michelin man suit. That's what I used to call it, because they're like absolutely adorable in it. You know, you definitely don't have to use the Magic Merlin suit, but you shouldn't feel bad if you are using the Magic Merlin suit. You know, just definitely discontinue the use around 4 or 5 months, maybe, if your kid's like super small, if they were premature. I had 3 preemies. Just make sure that it fits properly if you are using it. And once your baby starts rolling or looks like they're going to roll or start to roll, then I would definitely say it's, you know, becoming a little bit unsustainable at that point, and we should move on to a sleep sack. Do you agree?
Yeah. And you wrote a really nice blog for us on how to drop the Magic Merlin sleep suit. Everybody loves to read that article, and you've done really well because you've listed the safety guidelines back to their website because they're very safe, like safety conscious. And I'll note that it's not a weighted product. Okay. So I know a lot of sleep consultants don't like it because it's just, again, something else that you have to wean off of, but there's some consultants that use pacifiers. So it just depends, but it's not weighted. It's right. There's no weighted material there. It's just, I think it's like three layers of like jersey or cotton, depending on what your, you know, what fabric you're going with. And so it's not an unsafe option if you're using it according to their safety guidelines, which is really important to them. They're a small business, and I know that they really pride themselves on that. So if you don't want to use the Merlin, and you're worried about that swaddle transition, because the swaddle, it does become a prop, right? And it does become unsafe at some point. So it's kind of hard to think about going from swaddled, arms in, cozy, to just completely arms out. So the Merlin really does help with that like startle reflex that might still be there, helps connect sleep cycles. I did want to say that some of the families that we work with just use it for naps, you know, because nap sleep is just a whole other ball game. Okay. We know this. And there's just some babies who struggle with those connection of sleep cycles. And so we do see that it's really helpful in that specific situation, but they're able to sleep at night fine in a sleep sack. Okay. We could probably have a whole other episode on sleep sacks. My kids wore them till they were like four. So big fans of sleep sacks over here. A couple things. Yeah. Same. A couple things else that we have on the guide here are like, you know, DACA tots and like crib positioners have been deemed unsafe. So if we're using those, let's get rid of those. That is a prop that doesn't allow your child to move freely about the crib in the safest way that's recommended. Being held is also a prop. Unfortunately, I wish I could have held my kids to sleep and then just placed them down and then just walked away and everybody slept peacefully, but that was never our story. And I really thought it was my job to get my kids drowsy and sleepy as a parent. I didn't know any different. And it just didn't work for us. We slept in 2-hour chunks for like 16 weeks. It was miserable. So yeah, holding your children and your babies to sleep is a prop. Does it work for some families? 100%. I'm working with a family right now who has held their child to sleep at every bedtime for 2.5 years. And it worked for a while, right? And now it's not working. And so they've enlisted my help and he's doing so, so good because he is his own human and he can get himself to sleep himself. So I'm just teaching parents how to do that. Hey girl, are you tired? Not only tired from lack of sleep, but tired from searching all over the internet for sleep advice that's specific to your twins? Here at Tweet Dreams, we know that twin-specific advice and routines should be easy to find and access. And that's why we are a one-stop shop for you as a sleep resource. Our blog is chock full of advice for twins when it comes to naps, night weaning, sleeping through the night, and so much more. Not sure where to start? Be sure to grab our free twin sleep guide available for download today. This guide will walk you through an optimal bedtime routine, how to keep them synced throughout the day, and how to keep a routine going. As twin moms, we know how special those breaks are, and we want you to have them. Check out the show notes to grab your copy.
Exactly.
You know, we talk about drowsiness. It is what it is. You know, like it goes hand in hand with being held. Our sleep plans talk a lot about drowsiness and how it's just not your baby's friend when you're looking to make improvements with sleep, right? We have to look at what's causing drowsiness outside of their usual sleep times to make sure there's no like hidden sabotage anywhere, because it can happen for sure. Sustainable sleep props. Okay. Self-soothing, self-settling is amazing. Body position that your baby can get themselves into, rolling, side sleep, hands up, hands down, hands in mouth, rubbing head, sucking on thumb. All really, really good stuff, because in the middle of the night, your baby can just repeat that. And I don't know if you hear this ever, Selena, but a lot of parents tell me that they're so afraid of the hands. They're like, but his hands are like waking him up and they're getting out of the swaddle or they're, I'm like, I remember feeling the exact same way. Like these, if they wouldn't just knock the passy out, that they would have kept sleeping or whatever it was. But their hands are actually such a good tool and their own little prop that's built in to get the hands in the mouth for self-soothing. So we love hands around here. You want to talk about Lovey's blankets as they're appropriate?
I would love to. So you can introduce a Lovey or like a small safe stuff toy starting around a year old, right? So I think the official guideline is a year old. All of my kids adore their Loveys. Okay. I didn't even know what a Lovey was before I had children. People were giving me these little stuffed toys with like heads and no arms and like a little bit part of a blanket. And I'm like, what is this thing? Like, what are we doing here with this? Like stuffed it in the closet. And then I eventually figured out what it was and they love these things. Okay. My kids have had the same ones since they were born. We didn't use it when they were born, but they were gifts and it is a sustainable sleep prop. Okay. Heavy on the sleep prop part. Okay. If my kids don't have these Loveys, I don't know. I've never not let them sleep without them because they just love them so much. It's also a really great tool to use if you're dropping the pacifier later on, right? So if your kid is 12 months or older and you're dropping the pacifier, you can replace it with a Lovey sometimes. Sometimes they just want something to suck on. My children's Loveys, I wash them weekly. Okay. They're still look a little bit disgusting, but they're clean because they just like love to suck on them, hold them. They have names. Mm-hmm. I mean, like we are team Lovey here. Okay. If I'm ever going on vacation, staying at my parents' house or my in-laws' house, I make a list of what I need to bring to their house. And Loveys is always like number one on that list because if I don't bring the Loveys for my children, I have to turn around. Like, I don't think they're gonna take to a new one from Target or something. Like these are their Loveys. Mm-hmm. Like this is serious. So that is an example of a sustainable sleep prop as long as you don't forget it, right? Yeah. So definitely make a list if you're traveling or something. You know, it doesn't have to be a Lovey. It can be a blankie that's safe, you know, a stuffed toy that's safe, you know, double check, you know, the eyes and nose on some stuffed toys. You want to make sure that, God forbid, your child was like sucking or chewing something on them in the middle of the night, you know, nothing little could come off of it. You know, I don't recommend like, you know, having like 10 to 15 stuffed toys in cribs. I think that can be distracting. So definitely just a couple. I think my kids have maybe 4, and even that's like pushing it for me. They always ask like for more. We have like some auxiliary ones, like just in case something were to happen. I have a couple extras, but
understudies.
Yeah, I love the Loveys, guys. Okay. Any new parents, new moms, when I'm going to a baby shower or something, I always just like stick one in there. I'm like, listen, you're going to need this. Okay. Don't use it yet, but eventually like, don't lose it. Remember where you put it and talk to me, you know, when your kid is about a year old and I can tell you what to do with it.
I love that. I know you guys are team Lovey over there. And yeah, I tell people like, if we're introducing it as a alternative to something else, you know, let's talk about it a lot. Let's bring it into the bedtime routine. And I mean, at a year old, it's probably just in the crib. We're not doing a whole lot with it. As they get probably 18 months and closer to 2 years, we're maybe interacting with it. Maybe they can say its name. So definitely give it a name. My daughter's had like a little giraffe and an elephant. So we called it Jaffy and Elfie. They've since been retired, you know, but aww. I know. We're keeping them though. I still have my comfort item. When I was a kid, I had a little blanket. But to your point, which you said that your girls are almost 3, so they have 4 items in their bed. It's okay, right? But I usually tell parents, like, let's let them pick the amount for the age that they are. So if you have a 1-year-old, they could have 1 item. Mm-hmm. If you're 2 years old, we could have 2 items. And I think that's enough because if we have too much in there, it's very overstimulating. Like it's like
turns into playtime.
Yeah. It's like we're having a party in there. I remember my daughter would call me back in and be like, where's my pink unicorn? I'm like, frick if I know, like, you have 17 other things in here. And then I'm like, okay, hold on. We need to like, you know, pull this all the way back. She can pick 3 or whatever it was. So yeah, we love a Lovey. Transition items, transitional objects, whatever we call it. Totally appropriate for your child to have that, especially if you're dropping a prop and they're at the safe age to have one. let me talk a little bit about toddlers and their beloved milk, okay? Toddlers and milk. I see that it's a super coveted item. It's part of their daytime. They get a significant amount of nutritional value from milk, right? At 1 year old, 2 years old, we're still drinking a lot of milk. So how does that affect sleeps? And a lot of time, guys, it's going to affect it negatively without you even sort of knowing. So straight off the bat, let's remove milk from your toddler's bedtime routine for a couple reasons. One's going to be the dental health. We do not want that sweet milk sitting on their teeth all night. And another thing is it can become a prop. It can become an association. And the most common scenario that I see here is that, oh, we drink milk at bedtime. It's fine. But my toddler wakes up at 5:45 every morning, like screaming milk. I mean, it's not that dramatic, but the toddlers love the milk in the morning. They look forward to it. It's the highlight of their day. I remember having my little Munchkin 360, you know, ready in the morning. It's what they expected. So I'm working with a family now where we're really working on how to discontinue milk out of a bottle at 2 years old. And it's really sort of going to be a cold turkey approach here. If your child's missing out on any calories from that heavy milk intake, they will replace it with food or a different time of day. So I recommend that if your child has milk in the evening, that is offered shortly after dinner. Okay. So even if it's like you're handing over the cup of milk as you walk up the stairs, it's still too close for me. So let's move it back a little bit further so that it's sort of like at that lull after dinner when you're cleaning up, they're sort of like doing their thing. They can finish their milk. We're done with milk for the day. This will help with potty training as well to get them like overnight, you know, sort of like the bladder to rest overnight and things like that. But in the morning, let's also practice waiting. So don't have that cup of milk ready just as your toddler gets up. Let's wait a little bit, especially if you're dealing with early morning wake ups. So for this particular family, this child's used to getting milk at like 6:15. Okay. And he's up at 5:45 looking for it. They let him wait a little bit and then he's having his milk at 6:15. But I asked them, like, what's a more appropriate time to start your day with him? And they're like, we would love it if he would sleep until 7. Okay. We're going to practice waiting. We're going to move milk until after 7 o'clock so that his body, his digestive system, et cetera, can have it at a more appropriate time of day. Because, you know, toddlers are, they're into their routines. They're into their specific things that they want. And so he's waking up earlier looking for it. So what can we do to like sort of shift everything later? And so far it's going pretty good. If you're struggling with like bottles and like transition cups, let's keep that simple too. Let's get all the bottles into like a trash bag. They can help you get them together, give them to the trash man, or we're just going to not necessarily give them to like a younger sibling or anything, but I think like a really cold turkey approach with bottles at that age can be definitely appropriate. And if you're struggling with a transitional cup, I would say just pick two and try. Let's keep trying those two, giving them a choice. Because if we like, hey, which one do you want out of these 7 cups? I probably couldn't make a decision either. You know, it'd be too many choices. So that's my spiel on toddlers and milk. Does that make sense, Delina? I know, how are you guys with your milk over at your house?
100%. So I basically have 3 toddlers, I guess, 18 months and 2 almost 3-year-olds. And I nipped bottles in the bud from the beginning. So the twins made it really easy for me. They had that bottle refusal. They were like, lady, we're done with formula. We're done with bottles. I gave them whole milk in a straw cup. I started straw cups pretty early and they took to it rather easily. Okay. My son, slightly different story, definitely ate more, definitely loved the formula, definitely loved whole milk, but definitely didn't love a sippy or straw cup from the beginning. So, you know, I'd say probably 14 months, I was like, all right, I'm just not offering it. Honestly, the longer I wait, the harder it's going to be. So I just took the bottles away right around 14 months and I just kept giving him the straw cup. Did he have low milk intake for a few days, maybe lower than typical? Sure, because he was protesting, refusing and whatnot. But once he realized this is the only way I'm going to be able to take milk from now on, he accepted it.
Yeah, I think that's...
And I always have...
Sorry, no, I think that's really
Yeah, so I
helpful.
Always kind... No.
I was just going to say, that's really helpful because I kind of always, we keep talking over each other, but it's really helpful because a lot of people struggle with that, right? They're so afraid that their child like will just deprive themselves, but they won't.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I kind of always have given the milk shortly after dinner. I'm not a give milk with dinner kind of girl because my kids won't eat food if I do that. So I've always given it, you know, in that lull time, like after dinner, but, you know, not while they're getting into their crib or in their room or anything like that. Not a problem if you're doing that. We can work with you or, you know, there's many ways to work through that to stop that habit. So no worries if you're doing that right now. But I kind of just never brought milk into their bedroom. I was like, this is, we don't eat food here. We don't drink milk here. Like we sleep here. That's what we do here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really good. Well, I think that's everything that we have for sleep prep. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just like, is it sustainable? Is it not? What's working for you? If you don't have our twin guide or our singleton guide, please grab it because we go more in depth on that. So you can kind of see really like straightforward what's sustainable, what's not, how to drop those. So yeah, that's it. Sleep props, exclamation point. That's what this one's about. Check out, if you're in the Merlin suit, check out the really great article that Selena wrote transitioning out, and I'll link that in the show notes. And yeah, thanks for listening today. We've really enjoyed talking about this topic, and we'll catch you next week. Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
If you liked this episode and conversation, be sure to leave a review or rating. Share it with a friend on social media or a family member. It's our goal to reach as many parents of multiples and singletons alike. You're not alone in your parenting journey. If you'd like to hear about a specific topic or have an episode idea, please feel free to message us. We're here to help.